Once again, as with the parable of the Good Samaritan, the story we heard was close to life. It sounds as if it were another actual event. At any rate, it would have been a very familiar story to be told in marketplaces in Jesus' day. Have you heard? So I think it will be okay to give my version of it as an actual event. And it will be meaningful for us because, like the rich man, many of us have a storage problem. We have too much earthly treasure, and we need more heavenly treasure. Jesus is at work in his carpenter shop, and a man comes in wanting an estimate. How much will you charge for building me a new barn, a lot larger than the old one? My crops are doing very well this year. I need more storage space for all that wheat I expect to harvest. So Jesus gave him an estimate, and the man went away to think about it. Then, a day or two later, the farmer's sons came in. Jesus said, "I expect you have come about that new barn your father once built." The sons sadly shook their head. "Well, I am afraid we must forget about the barn. Father died last night. I have come to order a coffin in which to bury him." Jesus would have thought a lot about an incident like that. Some people would have commented, "What a pity. He worked hard all his life and died of heart failure." Jesus' comment, I think, would have been as it says at the end of the parable. "This is how it will be with anyone," which is fairly inclusive. "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." So that is how we should understand this story, and especially how it applies in the lives of ordinary persons, including ourselves. There is here a sad life in its end. Someone who has good prospects for this life and no future at all. Our prosperous farmer, the rich man, had every reason to think of God, who had given him the skill to be a good farmer. He had blessed his fields and his work in them. God has sent the rain at the right time and the sun. And he had hope of so much grain that he would have nowhere to stow it all. God's goodness did not cross his mind at all. He should have been thankful to God, but he had no thought of all he owed to the Creator. He thought a great deal about himself. I counted the number of personal pronouns he used of himself. My crops, my barns, my goods, myself. He only talks of himself. I will say to myself, you have many goods laid up. There are many people like that. It is not just that they do not come to worship. For all practical purposes, God does not exist for them. Like Jesus said, they are well off, but they are not rich towards God. Like the farmer, who said to himself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat and drink and be merry. As if one can be satisfied with ease and good times, including a comfortable retirement. Wine, dine, and recline. Of course, occasionally people realize this. I heard of a Zaire government administrator, a very well-paid man. In the course of his duties, he had to inspect a Christian mission hospital. And he got talking to an ill-paid orderly who, because he knew God, was living a very satisfied life. In a moment of honesty, he said, in this world, there are two sets of people. There are those who are paid well in this life, but make no preparation for heaven. There are also those who are paid ill in this life, but who are rich spiritually. You have the privilege of belonging to this second group. I have the stupidity to belong to the first group. Well, this farmer had a long-term life expectancy. He thought it would be for many years. He didn't even remember the whole of the saying. You can complete it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. God says, you fool. This very night, your soul shall be required of you. The word here is demanded. It is a Greek word. So I'll teach you a Greek word. Apaisin, from the verb apaisio, a commercial term used of calling in a loan. God had loaned us a life. Not given us a life, he has loaned us. He can call in his loan. It is not ours to do what we like with. It is lent for a reason. That will happen to all of us. It is not a good idea to have no time for God and no time for heavenly riches. In the end, you have no time at all. People like to think they will have a long life. They only die, they are told, at the 11th hour. Except God calls at 10:30. Why did Jesus tell this parable? Well, at the beginning I told you his story. What event was it which prompted it? Jesus had been teaching the crowd. And a man had interrupted him, asking him to intervene in a family dispute. The man said that his father had died, but his brother would not hand over his share of the property. I expect the brother was the elder of the two and executor of the will. And he didn't want to divide the estate. So the younger brother came to Jesus, who he saw as a rabbi, who would perhaps have some legal knowledge, who might be able to settle it, just as years ago in a village, people would go to the minister for advice. Or get him to mediate in a dispute. This would certainly fit into Middle Eastern society, because the most divisive issue in a family would be the division of land. Jesus refused to intervene. Who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? He was not prepared to mediate between the two brothers. He is not implying that we don't need to settle up in such situations. But he would not get involved because he had not come to sort out that kind of problem. He had come to proclaim the importance of getting right with God. He was teaching the priority of seek first the kingdom of heaven and he would not be diverted into a discussion about land ownership. His message was not about that. And for his hearers, life is more than food and possessions. I have found this out very much. Look to your Heavenly Father's providence for the earthly things. He will not let you down. He will provide, and he will help you to provide. Seek the kingdom of God. Have treasure in heaven. Earthly things will fade away. And the only treasure you will have is what you have invested in spiritual things. It is very hard for anybody to change that in the world in which we live. So I think we must turn it into a prayer, because we can't do it without God's help. So let us pray, and also not just for ourselves, but also on behalf of those we love. Now the prayer. There is a bit more. Dear God and Father, we tend to concentrate so much on our earthly prospects and plans. For such a long time, I have allowed such things to have more priority in my life than they should have. So have you. For a long time, we have risked our eternal souls and we realize the foolish thing we have been doing. I need your help to put first things first. But I need God's help as well, because I am not used to doing this kind of thing. I want to ask you, dear God, to help me to seek your kingdom. I need you to give me a desire for yourself more than any desire I have had in my life. Money, success, status. Take me at my word, Heavenly Father. Guide me what to think and do. And if I begin to waver in my resolve, please keep me willing. I need to know that you are my Lord and Savior. I need you to help me to plan and to live for eternity, not just for short years of this life. I have been trying to live in my own way instead of in your way. Please make me rich in heavenly things from now on. I know now that because you are my Father, I can relax about earthly things. So make me concerned about eternal things. knowing as I have read that it is your pleasure to give me the kingdom. Still a little more, but we must sing first from our seats. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you don't remember it, make it up. Three verses. I have decided it with God. His choice, not mine. First of all, I have decided. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. What about you then? Difference between a few short years and eternity. What is your decision? You need to give an answer. It is not as easy as you think. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. And will you decide now to follow Jesus?